What a morning. Julie and I talked. She's not back in here. And I said, let's just go ahead and start. You know, a lot of times people come in late and we're waiting for everybody to get here. And I said, let's just start at 10:35. Whoever's there is there. We're just going to worship. And, you know, God just met us. There were just a few. God just met us. So you missed if you got in later, but God just met us. And then he just kept coming and kept coming and coming and saying more stuff. And I want to thank everybody that shared. And you know, there's just a richness when we get into that flow of God and we know just what he's saying. And he just made himself very plain this morning and he wanted us to know some things. And so we're never alone. We're never without hope and we're never going to die. We're going to live forever. Remember that man that got raised from the dead that came in here? And at the end, when he shared, he goes, I want to tell the people, there is no death. And I'm like, excuse me? He goes, there is no death. And it's what BB said. You just change addresses. For us, there's a loss on this end. Yes. But for those who die, there is no death. They go on to a life grander and greater than we can ever imagine. And, you know, it's 25 days till Christmas. I have my little nutcracker things that I turn the little numbers over, and I put on my Christmas decorations. I'm nearly through, not totally yet. I do a lot of decorating. I love Christmas decorations, but it's 25 days till Christmas. And yet, I'm not the only person in the room that can say it has been the hardest year. Not just for me, but for some of you, then one of the hardest years that we've ever experienced. And what's that thing? If you know, you know. But we had my husband and Julia's husband, our pastors, went to be with the Lord this year within 3 weeks of one another. And so, BB, that word is very timely. And yet, even though they're gone, I've been decorating at my house. And Alan loved Christmas decorations. And then when we were all through, Easy would walk around and see what we did. And I'm decorating because the familiar in certain circumstances can be paralyzing in a negative sense. You can return to your old habits. You can return to a damaging relationship. You can revert to self-sabotaging behaviors. The familiar can be very dangerous. But in other circumstances, the familiar can be very comforting. And when everything around you is different and doesn't feel the same, what's familiar can be very comforting, and you can take some joy or enjoyment in that. And so I'm Christmas decorating, maybe a toddler needs a blanket or a stuffed animal. I look around at those Christmas decorations, and they bring me comfort. Cammy last week preached an absolutely amazing message. And I can absolutely guarantee you that if you did not listen to it another time, which I doubt you did, and probably you needed to listen to it a third time. I listened to it two more times this week. One was at 10:30 last night. There was so much in it that you couldn't get it all when she just preached. You could not get it all because she wasn't just giving you facts. She was telling you how you actually work on the inside so that the things that are being done in you that the devil wants, we can undo them in God. And she gave us not only a spiritual assessment of that, but a very medical and biological assessment of how we're made. And God knows this. And so we've been talking about emotional healing and inner healing for years, but we didn't know why we had to remove those triggers. We didn't know why those triggers of smell and sight and sound stuck in us. And she gave us all the reasons why. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows why, even when we don't. But it's nice that when we know why, we can take advantage of his solutions even to a greater degree, to a greater degree. And so I really do believe that as she talked, there was so much in it, you need to go back and listen again. And not just hear it as facts, but hear it as things that you might need to apply in your heart, and they will make a difference. They will make a difference. And so she explained why we all need areas of emotional healing, and if we let God, if we allow him to, Jesus will go there. He will go to that place that we like to keep tucked away, hidden away. He will go there. And he will, if we face our fears, which was the title that we put on her message, if we face our fears, he will rewire our brains. The washing of the water, he will rewire our brains. You go, I don't like the way I think. Well, let Jesus rewire how you think, okay? And so he will do it if you go there. And if you let him, and if you give him permission. And so therefore, then our responses and our reactions to things where we have been damaged by life on earth. Life on earth can damage us. You know, we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's not heaven here. And there are things that are done here that are not his will. See, we pray that his will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. But it's not always done. Lots of things are done to us that are not his will. Lots of things happen around us that are not his will. And they're very damaging. And since we don't know how to process them, we don't know what to do with them, and they get stuck in us, and it messes with us. And then we respond oddly after that, and people treat us wrongly, and then we can't be ourselves after that. And so his will didn't always happen, but we can rewire ourselves because of, even though things have been happening to us that maybe hurt us, damaged us, disillusioned us, disappointed us, and then at least we can be how we're supposed to be. See, his will can be done in us as it's supposed to be. You know, when Cammie stood up, she said, I'm funny. Nobody's ever told me I'm funny, okay? Nobody, but she knows it, and she goes, and my sermons are fun. And they are. Even when she's dealing with a serious topic, it's fun. Nobody's ever told me one of my sermons is fun, and so I'll just have to live with that. But she did use some F words, and she said that typical responses to fear that we as humans have, that we exhibit typically, or when fear, something we fear comes our way, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. If you don't know what, if you need some more elaboration, you need to listen again. But she said the antidote to doing those things is to rewire and train our brains to respond in faith. So we need to go from fear to faith. At the end of her message, she prayed. And if the end, if you were checking out or thinking about where you were going to go to lunch or, you know, worried about your kids or something, you missed it. Because she prayed such a heartfelt, surrendering, deep, passionate prayer to let God in to the places that we would hide. The Spirit of God fell at the end. And she looked at me and she says, what do we do? You know, like, the Spirit of God will fall when you open your heart to him and you just pray your guts out and you say, God, go there. Go to that place that I want to keep closed. Go to that place that I don't want anybody to see. Go to that place where the pain is so deep I don't like to even talk about it. If you really open your heart up to God, he'll go there and he'll come. And his presence came at the end, and some people were receiving just in their seats, God ministering to them. But if it seems like too much of a leap to you to go from fear to faith, like, well, that seems far. How am I going to do that? And you need like maybe a bridge to help you get across, I want to add one more word in our alliteration frenzy here. And I want to talk about faithfulness. Faithful. Just being faithful. You know, I can find a lot of verses about God being faithful. Not as many about us. But yet we are to imitate our Father. And in Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, many a man proclaims his loyalty, but a faithful man who can find? A faithful man. Let's go to the book of Joshua. Put it up there for me, Dan. Ella, put it up there for me. Ella's back there with Dan. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And we're going to read it. Faithful. Faithful. Faithfulness. From fear to faith. Sometimes if you don't know how to get there, just being faithful will help you get there. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's sort of like what Clyde told us. God doesn't always tell us why, but he tells us, now what? What now? And so, he says to Joshua, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place. They didn't expect it to be that way. They didn't expect Moses to be gone. They expected that Moses would want to order the promised land with them. They didn't think they'd be without him. They didn't think it would be this way. But God said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I was with Easy, so I will be with you. As I was with Alan, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. He said it over and over this morning. You're never alone. I will not leave you. They are gone. They are in heaven. But he is still here. God is still here. Yes. Be strong. Be very courageous. Cammie talked about it last week. The cowardice, those that are cowardly. We must be. Julie has to be courageous every Sunday morning. I have to be courageous every Sunday morning. We just put on our courageous clothes. It doesn't mean all week we operate that way. And sometimes the songs we sing, I need to pull them into my week so I can do better on those days. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, he says it again, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Here it comes again. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You're never alone. He's with you. He's with you. We're surrounded. He said it over and over and over again this morning. This is what he wants us to know. He wants us to get it deep on the inside of us. He doesn't want us to be feeling, he doesn't want us to believe the lies of the enemy. On the way to Thanksgiving, it was the first time I drove anywhere by myself. I always had Alan and John with me. I had Easy with me. And I was like, I'm by myself. But see, God said, you're never alone. So I got to pick what I say. And I got to choose a little better. So I want to talk a bit about Joshua, because maybe we can see ourselves in him. Maybe we can't see ourselves in Moses, who had these great experiences. And maybe, I don't have the great faith of Easy. I don't have the prophetic power of Alan. But maybe we can see ourselves in Joshua this morning. Joshua ended up being a great leader, but really, he started out just being a faithful follower. Just a faithful follower. And I tell leaders, sometimes you need to lead, but sometimes you need to know when to follow. And that's a problem with leaders, is sometimes they can't follow when they need to. But Joshua knew how to be a faithful follower. He's one of the few men in the Bible whose memory bears no stain. Think about it. There's no blot. There's no dark spot. There's nothing he had to hide under the rug. There's no bad past that he didn't want people to talk about. You know, he just was a good guy. He was a faithful follower. Abraham lied. David had Bathsheba. Peter denied. Paul had a wild testimony. Joshua had no such story. He was a good guy, but he successfully finished in just a few days what Moses didn't finish in a long time. He was Moses' protege. He was loyal. He was faithful. I would tell people all the time, in the dictionary, when you put the word faithful, you should have put Alan's picture under it. Easy was disciplined. He was faithful. He didn't miss one day of reading his daily Bible. He didn't miss his workouts. If we went on vacation in the days when, we didn't have internet, he would just run copies of all the daily Bible, put them in the suitcase, and he'd read those copies if he didn't want to take the whole book. You know, he wasn't going to miss a day. It didn't matter. When he went to India, he took his daily Bible. For decades, he woke up at, 4:20 in the morning and would be at the gym before they opened at 5 o'clock. Up until his 80s, and even in his 90s, when he was 90, he was still doing a little bit of workout at the gym. He was disciplined. Alan was faithful. See, these are qualities of people that sometimes we overlook. But it matters, because faithfulness will get you from here to there. See, you walk into the gym and you see somebody that's really fit and really in shape, and you're not. And you go, I want to be like that. But see, sometimes you got to just show up over and over and over and over and be faithful and be disciplined. And it just seems sort of like the mundane. It just seems common every day. But that's how change happens. See, we want miracles. We want magic. God says there's metamorphosis. There's a difference. We want miracles and magic, but God says, no, it's going to take some time. And so sometimes there's some things that take time. Sometimes there's an instant thing. I saw somebody crying on the front row the other day when Cammie was praying, maybe the second row. They're not here today. But God was moving in their heart. Something transactional was happening. So God can do a thing in an instant, but maybe it's just because they were faithful to show up. So maybe 15 Sundays, nothing big happened. But that Sunday, God came. That Sunday, God met them on their seat and changed their life. And so he was faithful. He was loyal. He had character. Some people are characters. Some people have character. And he decided that he was willing, even though he maybe didn't feel able, to carry out God's command at any cost. He said yes to God without knowing the terms of the contract. He didn't give God a list of qualifications. He didn't give God his concerns. He didn't give demands to God. Okay, I'll do it if you do this. He had been with a group of people who were full of unbelief. They complained a lot. He had been through 40 years of delays with them. And God had given a promise to the people, and yet it hadn't happened. But he stayed with a good report. What's a good report? What God says. What's a bad report? What you feel like, what you think might happen, what you're worried about, what it looks like it could happen. See, and that's where we tend to go. But God says, keep a good report. Now, the crowd around him, all the people, might have had doubt and skepticism and criticism, but Joshua just stayed steadfast anyway. Steadfast anyway. You know that thermometer, thermostat thing? You know, you can walk into a room and you can be a thermometer or a thermostat, and you can change the temperature in the room, or you can get like them. And see, we need, no matter what the people around us are doing, we need to stay who we know we're supposed to be. So how do we cultivate habits that bring us into this kind of thinking? Well, it starts long before you're put to the task. See, you don't get trained for a crisis at the beginning of a crisis. You get trained for the crisis long before. Habits that you put in your life long before make you able to deal with it when the crisis comes. It starts in everyday choices, the little things. Training for great exploits does not begin at the beginning of the exploit. Know that. You know, it's like if I wrote a book, How to Lose 20 Pounds in 15 Minutes, oh, it would be a bestseller. Yeah, everybody wants that. How to Lose 20 Pounds in 15 Minutes. But see, that's not how it works. And see, there are little things that people are faithful in that we overlook. And we don't know how important they are. You know what I thought when I wrote this down? Where's Ariana? Sitting on the floor. I thought about your fluffing the trees. Do you know that the fluffing of the trees, it was a big stress to me, because our former administrator had a sister who was great at fluffing the trees. Now, if y'all don't know what I mean by fluffing the trees, we have Christmas decorations galore that are going to start tomorrow. And we have Christmas trees. But when you put artificial trees in boxes, they get squanched, okay? And so when they come out, they're all like this. And someone has to pull the branches out. And many people can pull the branches out, but they look somewhat scrawny. But some people have a gift of fluffing. And Ariana has the gift of fluffing. And when I can do the tree and I'm like, I did it. And then Ariana comes and fluffs it and it looks like a much better tree, a much different looking tree. But I was worried, who's going to fluff the trees when Sherilyn was no longer here? And God, much to my delight, sent Ariana with such a gift. But she's faithful. She's just faithful. See, and so she sings on the worship team, but God is enhancing her gift. And she's given some little words of exhortation, but God is enhancing that gift. But nobody sees the fluff thing. I do. It brings me great joy. You will see how pretty the Christmas decorations will look, but it's a great relief to me. And she's just faithful. See, I don't have to go, who's going to fluff the trees this year? Every year, Ariana goes, when are you ready for the trees to be fluffed? See, and there's things that if we're just faithful, if we just show up, if we just offer ourselves, even if nobody's around and nobody sees it, maybe only one or two people know it, we make a difference. And so it was in the life of Joshua. The name Joshua means Jehovah God is salvation. In the Greek, it means Jesus. He was one of 12 spies to first go into Canaan, the land promised to the Israelites, but he was one of only two who told the truth of what he saw, because truth is not the absence of a lie. Truth is saying what God says. It is seeing things how God sees them. Do you know that Joshua only preached two good sermons in his whole life? Joshua couldn't have made the preaching team. Okay, Joshua couldn't have made the preaching team. Like a two-hit wonder, like that's it? Like, wait a minute, do you have anything next month? Nope. Two sermons, that's all I got. But he was dutiful. He was a dutiful soldier. He was a servant to Moses. He was faithful. He was fearless when he got to battle because he had cultivated being able to go against the flow of the crowd his whole life. See, he had dealt with the criticisms and the people who thought he was crazy his whole life. He was sharp in strategy because he had observed. Even when he wasn't doing, he observed. He was wise in his counsel, and he was a servant to the people. A little side note, before Jesus' time, out of 2 million people, only two men and their families who came out of Egypt went into the promised land. Not good odds. After Jesus, all may come in. All may come in. You may come into his presence. You can come into his provision. You can come into his protection. See, we don't just come out of something. We don't just come out of sin or out of drugs or out of immorality or out of drinking or out of lying or out of cheating. We need to come into something. See, we don't just, we're not in that anymore, but where are you? Come in. Come all the way in. Come into his presence. See, there's more for us than we sometimes grab hold of. We're just happy that we came out. But God wants us to come in. All may come in. But like Cammie said, life is not easy. And there's obstacles, and the devil, the enemy, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so some things are a fight. But you can only fight if you know God is with you, if you know you're not alone. See, you don't want to fight by yourself. You don't have confidence in yourself. But if you know God is with you, and if you know you're surrounded, and there's more that be with us than be with them, see, God was with them. And so you need to know not just that God is with you, but he is for you. See, he's not just with you, he's for you. Nobody has ever been for you your whole life, you might think, but God's for you. See, he's for you. Joshua was born in slavery just like we were. Numbers 14, 6 through 10 says that he was almost stoned by his peers when he urged them to believe God. Sort of like Keith said this morning, you know, we're bold, but people may not want to hear it. He was almost stoned by his peers when he believed God. So not everybody will be for you, but God is. But God is. 10 out of 12 spies said it couldn't be done, but it was done with just two believing when God says it's time. So I'm going to give you five quick things, just little things that I've noticed from the life of Joshua, sort of steps for his success so that he could achieve in a short time what Moses really didn't achieve in many, many years. Number one, he was humble in heart. He was meek in spirit, and he was easily entreated by the Lord. And he kept listening. You know, when Moses went up on the mountain, Joshua stayed down at the base of the mountain. Moses is up there. A lot was going on, like the thunderings and the lightning and the glory of God and the face of God. Joshua didn't have all that. He was just down at the base. And yet he didn't get tired. He didn't give up. He didn't run off. You know, when the people were out building a golden calf, he wasn't participating in that. He just stayed. He just waited. And sometimes we got to wait on the Lord. And you might go, well, I've been listening for him to say something. Keep listening. Keep listening. Don't give up. Keep listening. His long years of service paid off. Pastor Bunch is a pastor in Colombia. His son, Mauricio, is the young man that I went down there, and I trained some of their young people back in 2010, 11, 12, through 2014 or 15. And we trained them to go out on the streets and do ministry and do evangelism. And they were sort of like a Generation Jesus Colombia. And Pastor Bunch was his dad, and he had some face-to-face meetings with cartel people. And one time he told John, he goes, John, it's not how much you know, it's how well you listen. It's not how much you know, it's how well you listen. What is God saying now? What's the still small voice of God saying now? What was God saying this morning? They could have gone down that song list, but God was saying something different. We didn't sing half the songs. Not how much you know, it's how well you listen. Number two, God told Joshua, arise and go over. We can listen and we can listen, but when God says to move, when God says to do something, we have to take action. We cannot just lean on him. We cannot just learn. We cannot just listen, but we must do. There's a difference between teaching and training. I can teach you all day, but when I train, it's for you to take action. And so there's a training that goes on. That's what we put on our cards. Training, missions, healing, they're all here. And so when God says, get up and get going, it's going to take an act of our will to choose to make an immediate positive response for action. We can't vacillate. We can't debate. We can't think about it. We can't talk about it. We can't decide, is this a good time? We got to do what God says. Number three, Joshua made a habit of all of his attention and all of his aim were focused on God's aims and God's ambitions. We have to sometimes put down our plan, our thought, and even the people around us, Israel's petty desires, they didn't move him. They didn't move him. He didn't get sidetracked. He didn't go on detours. He just focused on what God said. Number four, he knew, and we need to know, our victories will not always be accomplished in a day or two. It's not one spectacular leap. It might look like that. Was it you that were talking to me, Cammie, about these country western stars? And they go, wow, you were an overnight success. And they go, overnight success? I've been doing this 15 years. I waited on tables and sang wherever they let me. And I went on this interview and that interview. And I did this little gig and that little thing. And you just now heard of me and you think it's an overnight success. But there was no overnight about it. And so our victory will not be one spectacular leap. Rather, it will be a steady march, one day at a time, one step at a time, little by little, until all the ground was gained. But number five, once they got their victory, it wasn't just a little thing. The land was not some little strip. It was a wide, immense region. It was the Negev Desert in the south. I don't know that I'm saying that one right. David, you can correct me. To Lebanon in the north, from the Euphrates in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. It was vast. God has more for us than we ask, think, or imagine. Sometimes when we have our little prayer request list and we're going, can you just please do one of them? God, please. One. God says, I can do it all. And I can do more than you're asking, thinking, or imagine. Even the hard thing, even the thing that you think, oh, that's never going to happen. Get it back on that list. Start praying. Start believing. Start confessing. Start saying the truth of what I say about it. Have a good report. Get a good report in your mouth. Be faithful. Just show up. Just showing up. See, sometimes people go, well, God hadn't done anything. You know, church was boring last week. Maybe you weren't plugged in. Because the person right next to you, they got healed. And so we need to come, just show up, and expect that God is going to do what he says. Because even when we're not faithful, he is. Stand to your feet with me. Father, we thank you that you are faithful in all your ways. There is none like you. There is none beside you, God. We thank you that you are faithful. You are faithfulness itself. And so, Father, we just thank you to let us emanate you and imitate you and become faithful, Lord, in any ways that we have. Let us become faithful in saying your word and not allowing ourselves to confess our circumstances when we get discouraged. Let us be faithful, God, in doing the task assigned to us at hand. Let us be faithful in showing up for worship, God, and being here so that we can enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise, God, and we can all do it together. Lord, let us be faithful. And so, Father, I thank you for your servants under the sound of my voice. I thank you to bless them as they enter this holiday season. I thank you to bring them comfort when they need it. I thank you to put a word on their mouth to celebrate when others need hope and help. And I thank you, Lord, that we are never alone. We are never without hope, and we will never die. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.